Well, good evening. Bunch of beautiful people out there. You weren't here last night. I qualified the name or defined what beautiful meant biblically. And it means it's your time, it's your hour, it's your season to rise up. It's when you are at your best. Amen?
Amen.
I believe God wants you to rise up. We talked about the beggar there in Acts chapter 3 last night. God did not create him to be a beggar. He spent most of his life begging. God had a purpose and a plan for his life. And there came a time where he can tap into that faith and it changed his life. Amen? That's what he wants to do with you. He wants to take you further than where you are now. Amen? And we talked a little bit about declaring the decree the Lord has said unto thee. And so the Lord told me when we come down here that he wanted to take the anointing to destroy yokes and to tell people that the Word of God is truth and the truth will make you free.
Amen.
And so we're believing him to do that.
Amen.
Amen. I want to take it a little bit step further tonight. Go to John's Gospel chapter 8 and we'll start there. And verse 31 and 32. How many moms we have in here? Yeah, they all are. Well, I want to wish you a happy Mother's Day. It's not tomorrow, but it's a week from tomorrow. And I want to encourage you to be, to let you know that God appreciates you in the office of a mother. Just like he does the ministry, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. There's an anointing on those gifts to do what they're called to do. But God gives grace to mothers and fathers to do what he's called them to do. And you have a tremendous job of raising kids. I raised six. Of course, my wife helped a little bit. So together we survived it. And now we're working on surviving the grandkids. Amen. So happy Mother's Day. I bless you. It'll be the best day of your life. Amen. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32 says, "And Jesus said unto the Jews who believed on him, If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Over in Isaiah 10, verse 27, it says it's the anointing of God that destroys the yoke. Or we could say the Spirit. When I talk about the anointing, I just talk about the Holy Ghost, because he's the one that anoints. You know, he's the one that comes upon you to be able to do what it is that you do. He's the one that's doing it. You know, you're just graced to have him. Amen. We couldn't do what we're doing without him. Amen. So he said the anointing will destroy the yoke, or the Holy Ghost is going to destroy the yoke. Amen. It's not you. It's not me. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit of God. And then, but you need to understand and know what the Word of God declares in order for you to partake and receive it for yourself. I will declare the decree, Psalm 2:7. I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me. He made it personal. He spoke things into my life. He called me to do certain things. He spoke to me and he said, "I want you to go do this, this, and this." And even today, he still tells me, "I want you to start doing this, this, and this." And my instructions come from him. And he speaks that word into me. I have to have the faith to receive that word and then the faith to go do it, knowing that he's going to do it through me. All right? A lot of people forfeit their dreams, forfeit the plan of God, because they can't see with their natural eyes how he's going to accomplish it. It's not your job to figure it out. It's your job to know what it is and then begin to do.
Amen.
Can you follow me? Mm-hmm. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about something that I ran into many years ago, probably 30, that helped me tremendously. And it's How many here baptized in the Holy Ghost? We haven't been speaking in other tongues. Y'all speak in tongues. See, we're all talking about Holy Ghost people here. Amen. So y'all speak in other tongues. That helped me tremendously. I was praying in the Holy Ghost. And I asked the Lord, what good does it do to pray or speak in other tongues? You know there's a difference. When you pray in other tongues, whenever you pray, you address it to God. When you're speaking in other tongues, there's a lot of things that can happen. Amen. A lot of times, you know, you can speak in other tongues to another individual and you can begin to interpret and prophesy. You're speaking to that person. You're not directing it to God. You're directing it to that person. And so when there's a gift of tongues in operation in a service, it's supposed to be interpreted because it wasn't to God. It's God talking to you. You understand what I'm saying? So there's a difference between praying in tongues and speaking in tongues, but you can do them both. The Bible translates it a little bit different, but you can do it both. The point I asked the Lord, I asked him, I said, well, what good does it really do for me to pray in other tongues? Now, I know I read Brother Higgins' books and 10 Reasons Why Every Believer Ought to Speak in Other Tongues. And I know what the Bible said about what speaking in other tongues will do for you, edify you, and so on and so forth. And I knew that. I understood that. And it does do that. But I asked him this. I said, but really, what real good does it do if I don't know what I'm praying? If I don't know what I'm speaking? He says over in 1 John, well, we'll look at it a little bit later, or in 1 Corinthians 14:2, he says that when a man speaks in an unknown tongue, he speaks not unto men, but unto God. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Some translations say he speaks secrets or divine secrets. Well, what good does it do to you if it's a secret? Amen. There's some things that you need to know, and you're not going to find them out any other way until you pray them out in other tongues, because your head don't know it. So your understanding don't know it. How can I pray the will of God out in my life if I don't know what the will of God is in my life? God gave us a tool, if you will, through praying in other tongues to pray that out so it can be revealed to you. There's some things that you'll never know until you pray them out in other tongues and expect God to reveal them to you. And you have to use your faith in order to do so. Go with me to, I think it's 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. I need to lay a little bit of foundation, so if you bear with me just a little bit. I'm reading out of the New King James, and it says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Someone else got a different translation? What's yours read?
It says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth."
Okay, what was the first part of that?
Do your best to prepare to present yourself to God.
Okay. Anybody else got another translation?
Amplified says, "Study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God approved, tested by trial. A workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth."
Yeah. That's what I was looking for, because the King James says the same thing, study. Study to show yourself approved, a workman who needs not to be ashamed. That's not found in the original Greek. The word study, as we know it, to gather data or intellectual knowledge, the way we know it, is mentioned 5 times in the Bible. That particular word's mentioned 5 times in the Bible. 4 of them it's mentioned in a not very favorable light. What he's telling us to do here is be diligent to show yourself approved unto God. How can I be diligent if I don't study? Now, studying and reading the Word and studying the Word is part of it. Don't misunderstand me. But a lot of people in the church has mental assent. They have mental knowledge of the Word of God. We talked about this a little bit this afternoon. They don't have revealed knowledge. E.W. Kenyon wrote a book about 2 kinds of knowledge. If you ever run across it, you ought to read it. It's an excellent book. Revealed knowledge comes from the Holy Ghost. This is really important, especially when it comes to your faith. When the Holy Ghost reveals something to you, it's yours right there, face right there. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing by the word of God. Now, it can come through a preacher preaching, but it takes the Holy Ghost to quicken that to you. It takes the Holy Ghost to reveal that to you. And as soon as it does, you've got faith, and you can step out on it, and it'll work. If all you do is hear, well, you know, Pastor Rubble said, and you try to step out on that, you're not really, even though I gave you the Word of God, you're not stepping out on the Word of God, you're stepping out on my Word. Because I said it. Or if you study in the sense of academics, you get a bunch of head knowledge, and you know, that's the reason we got people out here who can quote the Bible almost verbatim, but they have no fruit for it. Because it's never barely been revealed to them. That only comes through the Holy Ghost. And one of the ways, not the only way, but one of the ways to really trigger that is through praying in the Spirit. And keeping your mind focused on God, because He's about to show you something. There's a mystery, there's a divine secret that needs to be revealed to you. If you're not paying attention, it'll go right past you. If you're not looking for it, it'll sail right past you. But if you're praying in the Holy Ghost, I did this the Lord led me one time, I was sharing this, and I had four people come forward. And I said, we're going to demonstrate this. I've never done it since. I don't do it because you can't teach people to pray in tongues. You can't teach people to interpret, things like that. But the Lord told me I had four people come up. I had four people come up. And I said, just begin to pray in tongues and pay attention to in here. Don't pay attention to what's going on out here. And they're praying in other tongues. And so then I would stop them. And I'd say, what did God say to you? And one lady, she was, her eyes got about that big, and she was surprised at what was being revealed to her. The next person I talked to, I asked, what is God revealing to you? Had a puzzled look on his face. I don't know, but this one word keeps coming to me. I don't understand what it means. Well, that's when you stop and you say, Lord, this one word keeps coming to me. What does it mean? Then you start praying in other tongues. Because prayer is not a monologue, it's a dialogue. Even when you pray in other tongues. Now, when you're praising, that's a little bit different. But you always should be paying attention on the inside. Another individual said, I ain't getting anything. I said, well, just keep praying in the Holy Ghost. You keep praying and paying attention, and He'll reveal it to you because it's the Word of God. He said, if a man speaks in an unknown tongue, he speaks not unto men but unto God. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Why does he speak mysteries? Why does he speak divine secrets? It's not a secret to God. It's not a mystery to God. It's a secret and a mystery to you. And He wants it to be revealed to you. So when He says study to show yourself approved, King James says, the original Greek says be diligent, apply yourself to be a workman who needs not to be shamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you can rightly divide the word of truth, you can wrongly divide the word of truth. Well, if the Spirit of God, who is our teacher, who is the Spirit of truth, if He's the one that reveals it to you, then the odds are you probably got a pretty good interpretation of that particular scripture. Right? Even more so, when He starts speaking to you individually as to what He's called you to do and where He wants to take you and different things like that, that begins to be revealed. Not all the answers are revealed. There's things you have to pray out. When He told me, go get ready and go to the ministry. In here, I had a witness to go to Ramah. But up here, I'm thinking, I'll go somewhere else. And I actually applied in a different Bible school. And if it wouldn't have been for some saints that was hearing from God, who, church service was over one day, and I'm walking down the aisle, leave out, and this girl saint grabbed a hold of my arm, and she pulls me in front of her and says, you're missing God! I said, I am? So I went to pray again, and she was right. Amen? Somebody that had the boldness to be able to do it. They picked up on that. I didn't. Amen? Thank God, because if I'd went to the other one, I'd probably miss God big time. I'd had to backtrack and waste time and do all that. Are you following me? So study to show yourself approved, workman who needs not to be ashamed. Apply this. Be diligent to pray in the Holy Ghost, but not just pray. I run into a lot of Pentecostal, charismatic, word of faith people, spirit-filled people that go around and they're cooking dinner or they're driving their car or they're doing other things that's occupying their mind and they're not paying attention because they've been told, hey, you don't know what you're going to pray anyway. Well, that's true. You don't know unless it's interpreted. But why would God make it, give you a prayer language where you have a supernatural way to communicate between Him and you and nobody else will know? Why would He give us a way to supernaturally communicate with Him and not give us a way to understand what He's talking about? Are you hearing what I'm saying? It would be like, you know, me and you engaged in a conversation, I start speaking in tongues. And you say, I don't know what you're saying. Well, just pay attention. God did not just give that to us, just a way to stir us up or just a way to have power or different things like that. Those are all good things. Don't misunderstand me. And those are all working. Don't misunderstand me at all. But we need to take another step and go deeper into the river. We have, as the body of Christ, as a whole, and I'm not just talking about Word of Faith people and charismatic people, Pentecostal people, but the body of Christ as a whole has never tapped into the power of the Holy Ghost. We've scratched around the surfaces. We got bits and pieces here. But He said that out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Have you ever noticed a river flows continually? You ever notice that when you stop a river, it ceases to be a river? Are you hearing me? So He wants to take us into a deeper realm of understanding of the things of the Spirit than we've ever been before. And you have to press in into those things. Amen. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. This is one of Paul's prayers. I just want to point it out to you. There's much you can get out of this. The Lord had me on this particular prayer for about 6 months. Every time I go through there, I'd see something different, and I see something different. But anyway, I want to start in verse 13. I think is where I want to start. 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord. They had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were growing. They were born again. He had heard of not just them coming to know Jesus, but they had heard of their works of faith, the things that they were doing by faith. When he heard of their faith in the Lord, look what he says to them. When I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks to you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now he's going to pray for them. He heard of their faith, and he began to pray for them. They got born again. They came into the kingdom of God. They're baptized in the Holy Ghost. They're speaking in other tongues. And now he starts to pray for them in a different way. You know, you might be praying for a family member to get saved. You might be praying for a family member to get filled with the Holy Ghost. But when they get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, there's some of them are still baby Christians. You begin to pray a different way. Lord, grow them up. Lord, show them some things that they need to know. Are you following? Paul did the same thing here. Now in verse 17, verse 16, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the Lord, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in Him. He wants you to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in Him. That the eyes, your enlightenment, of your understanding, your mind be enlightened, your soul be enlightened. He was praying that as they receive the Holy Ghost, that they get some inside information about themselves and that local church as to where God wants to take them. He wants to grow them up. It's their time. It's their hour. It's their season. It's your time. It's your hour. It's your season. But there's some things you just won't know until you pray it out. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, I'm reading verse 17 again, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of the calling and what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance of saints and what is the exceeding greatness of His power who believe according to the working of His mighty power. There was actually three things that he was praying that a spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge, and understanding would do for them. That they would come into a spirit of wisdom, understanding, revelation, knowledge about their inheritance, their calling, and this power, this Holy Ghost power that works in them.
Amen.
Are you hearing what we're saying? And so he prayed for these three things. Well, what is wisdom? What is godly wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to operate in knowledge. You can have knowledge but be foolish. Not operate in it right and get in trouble. Knowledge is just that. It's knowledge. It's information coming unto you. Revealed knowledge you need to know. Such as you're reading through the Word of God and you see in the Word of God, the Spirit of God reveals to you that by the stripes of Jesus you were healed. And you begin to take your stand on healing. And you begin to resist sickness and disease. And then things aren't working out so well. Wisdom comes in there. You know how many people come to me and ask me, he says, you know, Pastor, I'm believing God to heal me, but you know, I don't know whether should I go to the doctor or not. I always tell them, if you have to ask, you better go. Because you're not there yet. There's nothing wrong with doctors. Don't misunderstand me. But true divine healing comes from the Spirit out. Comes from the inside out. Don't come from the outside in. That's the reason the prophet Isaiah said Jesus himself bore our sicknesses, carried our diseases. Amen? Didn't say Jesus himself and doctors and Jesus himself and medical science. Nothing wrong with using medical science. Don't misunderstand me. You've got to use wisdom. That's what wisdom is for. Amen? To be able to look at yourself and see where I'm at on this spiritual level. You know, if I'm down here as a baby or I'm an adolescent or I'm a teenager, or, you know, or you know, I'm like Jacob worshiping God leaning on a staff. You know, so he prayed for them that they would receive a spirit. And the Spirit gives them, which is the Holy Ghost, revelation, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, enlightens the mind. Amen. Now look at John, 1 John. I'm going a little fast because what I really want to get to is 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. It says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. Well, quite frankly, I don't know all things. Well, the Bible says I have an anointing from the Holy One. I like to translate the word anointing as the Spirit of God. He's the one that anoints. When I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, I was anointed by the Holy Ghost. I was baptized in the Holy Ghost to endued with power to go out and do the work that Jesus called me to do. Amen? So he says, I have this anointing or I have this Spirit that I don't that I can know all things. In other words, there is nothing that I cannot know, but I have to ask. And I have to be able to pray it out for the Holy Ghost to reveal it to my mind because, you know, quite frankly, some things get complicated and my mind can't handle all of it. And he just kind of simplifies things. Are you understand what I'm saying? And so he says here that you have an anointing from the Holy One. You know all things. Look at verse 27. But you have an anointing which you have received from the Holy One or received from him abides where? In you. He abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but that the same anointing teaches you concerning all things. You have the Spirit of God been given unto you as the teacher to teach you. You can't receive the things of the Spirit without being taught and revealed by the Spirit. It doesn't work. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 said, the natural man. The natural man, talking about the one that thinks carnally, the one that thinks naturally, cannot receive the things of the Spirit. For they're foolishness unto him. But if you cannot receive them, then how can I know things of the Spirit? Especially things that pertain to my life. Things that God wants me to do. Things that God has called me to do. How can I know them? I have to get them from the Spirit. How do I get them from the Spirit? By praying in the Spirit.
Amen.
And that will be revealed unto me. Amen. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I I was actually going to go in a different direction tonight, and the Lord said, no, they need to know this. There's a lot of people in the church that don't know this. A lot of Spirit-filled people don't know this. And they're spending a lot of time praying in the Holy Ghost. And don't misunderstand, there's a lot of things going on. They're being energized. They've been building up. And there's a lot that, but they're not getting what God wants to get to you. They're not getting more. I call this getting the most from the Holy Ghost. But that's kind of deceptive because you can't get the most. I haven't got the most yet because I'm just on the outskirts of it. I'm just scratching some things of it. But this is very powerful. If you're going to be led of the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, you're going to have to understand the Spirit.
Amen.
You're going to have to be able to hear from Him and recognize His unctions and His leadings in order to do so. Amen. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2. We mentioned it or quoted it earlier. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries, or he speaks divine secrets. John chapter 6 and verse 63 says this. Jesus is talking. He says, the word I speak to you. He made it personal. The words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. I like to say it like this. I don't think I do the scriptures any injustice by saying it like this. The words I speak to you are spirit that will produce life. The word of God is a seed that produces life. And when you know it and understand it, but he made it personal. He speaks a word to you. What are you supposed to do with that word? Believe it and act on it. Just like when you see it in here, you believe it and you act on it. Are you following me? And so he said that any man that speaks or prays in an unknown tongue prays not unto men, but unto God. I had a pastor tell me one time, you know, to pray in other tongues during a church service, whether it's worship or whatever, is not scriptural. I said, why? I said, because it's supposed to be interpreted. I said, now, according to 1 Corinthians 14:2, I'm not talking to the people, I'm talking to God. Amen. And when I'm talking to God is a divine secret, it's none of their business. So why would it be interpreted? But it should be interpreted to me. Again, what does it profit us if we're not knowing what we're praying? Look at verse 14 and 15, but I think I want to go to start with verse 11. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. So if the Spirit of God is praying through me, and I'm praying out, and he's hooked up with me, and I'm praying in other tongues, and I don't have any understanding of it, then he says he's a foreigner to me, and I'm a foreigner to him. Because we don't have any understanding. Are you hearing what I know that he's applying this in the natural, you know. If I got up here and, you know, and spoke German and you didn't know German, we'd be foreigners or politically correct internationalists, you know, type thing. But my point is, we need and God wants you to know. Look at verse 12. Even so you... Since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, the word gifts in my Bible is italicized. It means it was added by the translator. That word spiritual means anything about or pertaining to the Holy Ghost. Since you are zealous of anything about or pertaining to the Holy Ghost. Let it be for the edification or the building up of the church that you seek to excel. When you begin to know what God's called you to do, and you begin to act on it, then you'll begin to build the church of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Whether it's out witnessing and winning souls, or whether it's partaking part in the church and doing something like teaching Sunday school or doing something in the church, it's basically twofold and nobody's exempt. The Great Commission is twofold. One of them is in Mark chapter 16, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's for anybody that believes. That's all of us. Go preach the gospel to any creature. And he said, these signs will follow them that believe. Very first sign is what? Casting out devils. What's number two? Speaking in tongues. Isn't that interesting? That speaking in other tongues fell right underneath casting out devils. He said, you'll do this in my name. In other words, I'm authorizing it. Amen. You've been authorized to go cast out devils by the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been authorized by the Lord Jesus Christ to speak in new tongues. There isn't a preacher or anybody on this planet Earth that can tell you that's wrong.
Amen.
Now, there needs to be some wisdom with it. And I've seen some people do some foolish things with it. But it still doesn't belittle what Jesus has implemented and given it to the church for. It's much power in it. And this is one subject matter that in the body of Christ has split churches. The devil fights it a lot because once you get a hold of it, it'll take you to realms that he can't stop you. Actually, he can't stop you anyway, but he can no longer fool you into thinking he can stop you.
Amen.
Amen. So it goes, verse 13. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue, you speak in tongue? Pray that he may interpret. You ought to be praying, Lord, I want to interpret my prayer language. There's a need for me to interpret. Why? He didn't say to interpret in a church service. He said a person that prays in tongues, pray that he may interpret. Simple as that. He's not talking about a gift of tongues in operation and the gift of interpretation in operation in church service. He's talking to the individual believer that's been baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaks in other tongues. You should pray that you interpret. Why? Because God wants you to interpret because you've got to have some fruitful understanding.
Amen.
So then he goes on in verse 14. He says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Well, if I don't have any understanding of it, how can I do it?
Amen.
If I have any understanding of it, how can I fulfill it? Are you following what I'm saying? Now, there's other ways God can communicate that to you. Don't misunderstand me. But this seems to be, in my opinion, primary way. I've had people say, well, you know, I've been in church for a long time. I don't know what God wants me to do. I said, start taking time just praying the Holy Ghost. You don't have to fast. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. But start paying attention because interpretation is going to come. And it comes in different ways and it can come very subtle. The thing is, you got to recognize it and pick up on it. And if you don't at first don't quite understand it, you stop and say, I don't quite understand that, Lord. You know, what is this? You'll find out that that God wants you to know more than what you have been experiencing. He wants you to walk in this realm. Amen. Then he says in verse 15, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit and I will also sing with the understanding. He says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What am I going to do then? I'll pray with the Spirit and then I'll pray with the understanding. Now that can be interpreted. I pray in other tongues and then I'll take some time and pray with my head knowledge. And I had a lady, she wrote a book on, and she's a friend of mine, she's out in California, but she wrote a book on prayer. And she says you should always pray in your understanding first. And then what you don't have understanding of, pray in the Holy Ghost. Well, it sounds good, but that ain't what Paul said. Paul didn't say that. Paul said, I'll pray in the Spirit first. Then I'll pray in my understanding. Why? Because Paul understood, and that's what he's trying to get across to us. If you start out praying in the Spirit, you'll begin to pray out the mystery or the secret, which is really interpreting what you just prayed, so that your understanding can be fruitful and you can know what you prayed. Now, it doesn't happen all the time. And if you go and it doesn't happen for a while, don't get frustrated over it. The point is, I have to be paying attention. If the Spirit of God is going to reveal something to me, I have to be paying attention to catch it. If I'm just thinking about cooking lunch and just going ahead and praying in the Holy Ghost, trying to get my hour in a day, I'm going to stir up some things and it's going to help me a little bit. But there's so much more to that. Amen. They can go so much further if you're just paying attention to what the Holy Ghost wants you to do. Can you see that? Well, then look at I think it's verse. Yeah, look at verse 18 down through 21. I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words in my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in tongues. He's not saying your understanding is more important. He's saying if he's talking to people. Of course, you know, if I'm up here speaking in other tongues, you wouldn't understand what I'm saying. I was getting ready to preach one Sunday. And I told God when I first started, if you don't give me fresh manna, if you don't give me the word to give to people, then I will not preach. If I get up to the pulpit and I don't have anything to preach, I'm going to dismiss and go home. Because you didn't come to hear me, you come to hear God. And there's been a few times in the 20-some years I've been in the ministry that I almost thought I'm going to have to dismiss. But this one time, you know, they're praising and worshiping God, and I'm over there and I got my mind on the Lord. And I'm saying, Lord, you know, I got to have some. I had zip. I didn't have anything. And so I'm just sitting there and I'm just waiting for Him to reveal it. And so, you know, they're praising and worshiping God, and praising and worship is coming to an end. And I still don't have anything. Now my flesh is getting nervous. Well, they're done, and say, okay, Pastor. So I walked up to the pulpit with all the intention of keeping my word and saying, hey, we're going to go ahead and go on home. God ain't give me nothing this week, so if you ain't no sense for us, stay here. That was what I was determined to do. And I walked up, set my Bible down in the pulpit, and I went to open my mouth to dismiss people, and I started speaking in other tongues. It just started coming out of the bottom of in my spirit. The Holy Ghost hooked up with me, and I knew right away what it was, so I just flowed with it. And I spent 10 or 15 minutes preaching in other tongues. And then when the Holy Ghost, as soon as He stopped, I knew exactly what I was supposed to preach on then. So then I stopped. And I said, you know, some of you are waiting for an interpretation. You're going to get it right here. I'm going to preach you the message He just preached to me. How did I get that? Through the interpretation. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
On the inside. He's done that several times to me. Amen. And so, anyway, he goes, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. Yet in the church I'd rather speak five words of my understanding that I may teach others also. And then 10,000 words in tongues. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me. With other tongues I will speak to my people. The Greek will say, I'll teach my people. Look at Isaiah, because this is who Paul's quoting. Look at Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. I'm going to begin reading verse 9, but you know, most people know about verse 11 and 12. Isaiah 28, verse 9. I'm reading out of the New King James. Verse 9 says, whom will He teach knowledge? Talking about the Spirit of God. Whom will He make to understand the message? See, you can't understand the Word of God unless the Spirit of God reveals it to you. You can't even get saved without the Spirit of God drawing you to Jesus. We can preach, preach, preach salvation, 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 salvation. And if the Holy Spirit is not drawing people, they learn about it. They know what it takes to get saved, but they don't ever act on it because there's no faith there to act on. Because they have to have that revealed by the Spirit. Jesus Himself said, nobody can come unto me unless the Father, nobody can come unto the Father unless it's through me, and no one can come unto me unless the Father draws him. Amen? And so the Holy Spirit's got a job to do, and He's trying to do it through us. Who shall I make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk, those that's just drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. It used to be one of my favorite verses, and my wife, every time I quote it, she'd tell me to shut up. Line upon line, precept upon precept, that's how you're going to learn. Look at verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue, He will speak or teach this people. Well, how is He going to teach you? John chapter 16 and verse 13 says, when the Spirit of Truth, He said, when the Spirit of Truth comes, He will lead you and guide you into all truth. He's going to teach you the Word of God. He's going to reveal it to you. When He reveals it to you, you have understanding.
Amen.
Can you see that? I mean, have you ever read through the Word of God and you read a particular verse or chapter or whatever and you read it, you probably read it 100 times and all of a sudden, oh, I see it. It's like the light comes on and you think, boy, that took me, that's so simple. Why couldn't I? Because the Holy Spirit hadn't revealed it. Because you see, if you could study to show yourself approved and you could gain all this knowledge and you can put it to work for you, then you could take glory for it. One aspect that we have to have for the Word to come alive in us is the Holy Ghost. Then it becomes, when He's revealed to you, it becomes part of who you are. See, when I got born again and I realized I was the righteousness of God in Christ, I didn't have a problem with condemnation. I understood I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I tell people, and it offended some religious folks, but I tell people, I'm God's special son. Well, so are you, but I am. I'm God's special son. He sees me as special. Now, I can tell that to people and some will get offended and say, boy, he's arrogant. And I can tell that to other people and say, boy, I wish I could be that close to God. I had an old saint one time come up to me and said, you must be really close to God. And I said, well, yeah, well, I am. What am I supposed to say? No, I'm backslidden. But I said, well, what makes you say that? She said, because you speak in tongues. And I said, well, that's not the way you measure it. It's your life. What fruit are you producing? Amen. Anyway, for with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was to them, line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here little, there little, that they might go back and fall backwards and be broken in a snare and caught. That's your studying and gathering academic data. You have a lot of knowledge, but it's not working. It takes the Spirit of God to bring life to it. Hallelujah. Line upon line, here a little, there a little. Over in Jeremiah, I'm not going to turn to it for a simple fact. God just quickened it to me, but over in Jeremiah chapter 2, and I think it's about verse 9, Jeremiah is speaking to the people of God. And he said, God is speaking through Jeremiah, and he says, you've committed two evils. One, you're forsaking living water, and you've made cisterns for yourself, broken cisterns that can't even hold water. Well, that's a representative or a type and shadow of the Holy Ghost. You've forsaken the living water, and you're trying to build cisterns. You know what cisterns are? You know, just an underground well. It catches rainwater, and usually it's stagnant and things like that. I ran into a couple old ones in my time, and I don't think I'd want to drink from them. But anyway, he says they won't even hold water. Well, the church does that when we abandon the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And we start trying to do things ourselves instead of trusting Him to reveal them. Now, go with me to Acts chapter 16. I want you to see this principle working in Paul's life. This is a familiar story. Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. Paul and Silas had obeyed God. They went down to Macedonia. They got in trouble. They end up getting beaten and thrown in jail. They're in the inner part of the prison. They're shackled. Their backs are bleeding. They could have been whining, but they weren't whining. The Bible says that at midnight, or their darkest hour, it could have literally been midnight, but I believe it just means your darkest hour, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening. Paul and Silas was praying and singing hymns to God. Now, it doesn't say they were praying in tongues. But ask yourself the question, do you believe Paul practiced what he preached?
Amen.
Notice he prays, then he sings. What did he say over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14? I'll pray with the Spirit, I'll pray with my understanding. I'll sing with the Spirit, I'll sing with my understanding. So there's a good chance that Paul was doing what he wrote the church at Corinth to do. I mean, when it seems like you're being persecuted and all hell's broke out against you, rejoice. How can I rejoice? Well, I got to get strength. Where the joy of the Lord is my strength, where does the joy come from? Well, it comes from the Holy Ghost. Where's the Holy Ghost at? I don't know. He's in you. All you got to do is begin to tap into it. When you tap into it, He'll quicken you. He'll strengthen you. And like I was telling Michelle earlier, that it's awful hard to fight a fight of faith when you have no joy, when you have no strength. The church really needs to learn how to rejoice. Paul and Silas did it. They prayed. They believed. They received. They rejoiced. No matter what happens, God's got it. And notice what happens. Verse 26, suddenly there was an earthquake so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose. God's always interested in setting people free. Whether it's free from sickness and disease through healing them, whether it's free through whatever torment the devil's laid upon people, He's interested in setting you free. He's interested in healing relationships, healing emotions. He's interested in doing that because you're not whole unless He can set you free and bring wholeness to you. Amen. And Paul and Silas simply were obeying the Word of God, I believe, to rejoice. But I believe they started out in other tongues. And all of a sudden, here comes the word to them, and they started praying that in their understanding, and the prisoners heard them or were listening to them, and they heard the gospel being preached to them as Paul and Silas were praying and singing it out. And there was an anointing such that there shook the whole jail, and the foundation shook, and everybody got loosed. Nobody escaped. The jailer thought he was going to die, but Paul said, "You know, we're all here." And then later, the jailer gets saved and his whole family. What? Because somebody decided, I'm in a bad situation. I'm not understanding why I'm here. I'm not understanding why I just got beaten. I think I'm going to check in with the boss and see if this is part of my severance pay or what. You know what I'm saying? And so he just began to do that. Amen. Look at Acts chapter 4. This one again doesn't say they prayed in other tongues. But this is Peter and John. After they healed the man at Gate Beautiful, we talked about him last night, they ended up in front of the religious folks. They were mad. And they told him, "Don't you preach or teach in Jesus' name anymore. Don't you be healing in Jesus' name." Well, I'll tell you the truth, you can't heal in any other name. Certainly can't heal my name, but you can in Jesus' name. So here in Acts chapter 4, they were threatened and they were beaten. Verse 23, "And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice," singular to God, "with one accord and said, Lord," and we began to see what they prayed. Now, it doesn't say that they prayed this in other tongues. All right. But let me ask you, how can you all pray the same thing out loud, everyone praying themselves out loud, and you're all saying the same thing? Most of the time, your mind goes, if you're praying in your understanding, you might be praying for Sister So-and-So's needs, or someone else might be praying for the community needs, somebody else might be praying for different things that arise that they have understanding of, and it's not, they're all in one place, don't misunderstand me, but they're not in one accord. It's only the Spirit of God didn't bring you in one accord. Can you see that? A lot of people don't even show up prayer meeting. But anyway, they begin to pray. And the Bible, it gives us, an interpretation of what they prayed. It could have been in the understanding. I believe it's really an interpretation of what they all were praying in one voice. They lifted up their voice. God heard it as one. And they begin to, and it gives us the interpretation. I want to jump down to verse 28. "To do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal." That was the one thing they told them they couldn't do. and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy child Jesus. When they had prayed, the place that where they were assembled together was shaken, and there was all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, I've yet to be in the service where the building starts shaking. I'm expecting to be in a service when the building starts shaking, not from a natural earthquake, but from the presence and the power of God being there. And I expect people to go free. Amen. Because this is the purpose of it. God don't show up just to shake a building and let you know how strong He is or what He can do. He shows that He always has purpose. He's got a purpose for your life. He's got a purpose for your life. He's got a purpose for your life. He's got a purpose for everybody's life in here. And He needs you to fulfill that purpose. Amen. When the body of Christ begins to fulfill their purpose, we will rise up like the sleeping giant that many have prophesied about with the fullness of God. Amen. The world, even the book of Acts, the early church, has never seen the church in the fullness of God, with the fullness of the ministry gifts, with the fullness of the gifts of the Spirit, to their fullness. We've never seen it. We've just had it in part. You know, prophesy a little here, and you speak in tongues a little there, and, you know, cast a little devil out over here. We've just had it in part, and most of that came off of ministry. God's going to use His body. Are you hearing me? But you have to get to a place that you believe it, you receive it, you're expecting it, and you're walking in it. No matter what level that may be. You don't start out on a ladder on the top rung. You start out down here. You start out in kindergarten learning your colors, and you go to first grade and learn a little math, and you go to second grade. Next thing you know, you've graduated high school, you went on to college or whatever, or a good trade school. And then you graduate from that. Then they send you out into the world. And you should be prepared to do it. To whip the world. Are you understand what we're saying? This is what God does. He raises you up and He trains you at every different level. And every time you're trained, you learn a little bit more. You learn a little bit more about what God wants me to do. He increases an anointing into your life. He begins to operate different gifts in your life and giftings and talents that He's given you. He begins to highlight them, and you begin to walk out the plan of God for you. And the glory of all that goes back to the Father. But the body then comes together and functions as a body. When I was a senior and playing football, I dislocated my shoulder, right shoulder. And I had to wear it in a sling. They wanted to do surgery on it, but they didn't. I had to wear it in a sling, and they put an ace bandage around so I couldn't move it. For 6 weeks, I'm like this. You know, and I'm right-handed. So I have to go to school, and I'm doing my homework, and I'm trying to write left-handed. I mean, that was rough. All because of this shoulder was out of joint. It wasn't broken. It wasn't in its proper place. And it created a lot of pain for the rest of this body. And it caused me to be, for lack of a better word, handicapped. I wasn't at full strength. I wasn't operating to my full potential. Because I had my arm in a sling. Wasn't wrong with my hand or nothing wrong with my elbow. But because of this one joint, it immobilized my whole arm, and it caused my whole body to struggle to do certain things. That's the way the body of Christ is. We got a lot of people, they're not broken, they're just not in place. They're not in the place that God wants them to be. If we ever get them there, and that's the ministry's job, to teach and to train them how to recognize it and how to get there. If we ever get them there, you're going to see the body of Christ filled to fullness, to overflowing, like an individual is when they begin to speak in other tongues, filled to overflowing, to the fullness, the body of Christ, to the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We have never seen it. The world has never seen it. We have never experienced it. I can't see it and understand it with my mind. But according to Ephesians, that He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think. If I can't think it, how can I ask it? But I got to ask it because the Bible says, Jesus says, your Father knows that you have need of it, but you need to ask. Well, if I can't ask for it, then that means I'm not going to get it. So he devised a way that I can ask for something that's completely, exceedingly abundantly above what I can envision and I can think to get to manifest in my life.
Amen.
Are you hearing what we're saying?
Yes, sir.
That's what he wants to take you. That's where he wants to do with you. Amen. Because you are beautiful. It's your season. It's your hour. It's your time. Amen. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to pray for anybody that needs to go free from some things. I need to reiterate this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Everything that we receive from God and everything that we do is by faith. It's believing. And you got to know God's will or His Word in order to have faith for something. You have to have a basic understanding of some things or you can't have faith. And your faith is based upon the greater understanding, the greater the faith. Are you following me? The greater the understanding, the greater the faith, the greater you experience the power of God. The more you experience the power of God, the more confidence you have in it. But faith only comes one way, and that's by hearing the Word of God or hearing what Jesus is saying to you. That's why it's so important to go to church. And it's so important to listen to what the pastor is saying. Why? Because he's been anointed for that time, for that hour, to deliver you the message that God is trying to get across from you and not discard it and just say, well, that's not for me. That must be for Sister So-and-so. Now, you wouldn't have been here and he wouldn't be preaching if it's just for one or two individuals. It's for all of you. Amen. You can grow from some of it. Amen. You may not even, you might only need about 2% of it, but that's 2% you never had. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And it's also important as you're praying in the Holy Ghost. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Do not cast away your confidence, which have great reward, for you have need of endurance or patience, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Do not cast away your confidence. Do not cast away your faith. We talked a little bit last night about the beggar there in Acts chapter 3. And we realized that he had faith, but it wasn't doing him any good. Because he wasn't using it. Brother Hagin tells a story, if I can get it right, of a couple that brought a baby to him. They had club feet. And he brought him up in the prayer line to pray. And he grabbed a hold of the feet of the baby. And he's just talking to the parents. And he's just holding on to the feet. And so he's explaining to the parents, he says, I'm just letting the anointing go into the feet and straighten them out. Whatever it is. I don't know exactly what club feet is. And so he says, and he's just sitting there talking to him. After he got done, he let go, and he says to him, now keep the switch of faith turned on. And a lot of people have coined that phrase, and some of them written books about it and preached sermons about it, and they wrote songs about it, keep the switch of faith turned on. Well, the switch of faith is just that. It's a switch. If we go back and turn these lights out, let me ask you, does that mean there's no power to the lights? No, it means a switch off. If you look at the lights as being your answer, your manifestation, the manifestation of the Word of God you're believing for, and the electricity that's lighting them is the power of the Holy Ghost, then you have both of them, but if you don't keep the switch turned on, the lights go out. Now, it would be foolish for the lights to go out and we sit here in darkness and say, I don't understand. I prayed. I believe. I don't understand why it's not working. I should have seen this. You know, I just don't understand. Turn your switch back on. You won't get it until you turn the switch on because that breaks the circuit. There's no flowing. Are you following me? A lot of people start out believing, and then they turn the switch of faith off. They cast away their confidence. and then therefore lose what God has intended for them to have. They forfeit it. It's there all the time if they'll get that switch turned back on. Because the same Holy Ghost that's empowering it's there, and the manifestation is just waiting to come onto the scene, but you've got to keep that switch of faith on.
Amen.
It's the devil, according to Jesus' words in Mark chapter 4, that comes to steal the word. He does not come because of you. If you're suffering persecution, if you're suffering from sickness and disease, or if you're just suffering pressure from the world, from your boss or whatever, that is not coming because of you. It's coming because of the word in you. And the only way the devil can stop you is by getting that word away from you. He gets the word away from you, he'll stop you. God gave me a very simple illustration many, many years ago because I used to play football and I understand what football is, or the game of football. Most of you understand here what football is. You football fans here? Well, hopefully you ain't got any Packer fans here. Right? I forgot I am in Wisconsin. Yeah. Anyway, what is the object of the quarterback or the ball carrier? What is a running back's object when he's got the ball? What is he supposed to do? Where? He's running toward an end zone. He's going to score points, right? What's the defense responsibility? Stop him. Tackle him. Right? When the game is on the line, time is running out, the offense, you have the ball. What does the defense usually try to do? Strip the ball. Why do they want to strip the ball? They get the ball, then you have to go sit on the bench. Now, they can knock you down, tackle you, but you get to get up and go again. You get four downs. They can run you out of bounds. You get to bring the ball right back onto the same court. Wherever you ran out of bounds, pick up and go from there. The only way they can really stop you is to get that ball away from you, especially when time's running out. Well, the devil understands that time is running out for him.
Amen.
And the only way he can stop the church is to stop the church from acting on the word that they have.
Amen.
And he's coming after it. If you give up the word, then you're going to have to sit on the sideline. If you keep the word, you're his worst nightmare.
Amen.
You hear what I'm saying? You just keep pushing it down because we get more than four downs. As long as we got the word, we just keep going. We tread upon him. But according to Jesus' word in Mark chapter 4, he comes to steal the word. Not for you. It doesn't matter, you know, if you're male or female. Doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter your social standing, you're rich or poor. If you're a running back, he wants the ball. A defense doesn't care who's carrying the ball. We just want the ball. Oh, you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
You don't give him the ball, you win. But he's coming after the ball. And so a lot of your trials and a lot of your tests and a lot of your persecution and all that that is coming against you is a manifestation of how desperate the devil is because he's about to lose big time.